And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. Joining me on the Zoom line today is Pastor Bill Shishko. Pastor Bill, it's great to have you with us today.
Oh, I'm glad to be back with you again, Dan, and I'm ready to go with what we're going to deal with today.
We come into these things, and let me tell you, dear listener, nothing is rehearsed. So you get it just the way it is. Pastor Bill and I share a lot of things in common. And Pastor Bill, why don't you share with the listeners today what it is that you want to talk about?
Yeah, Dan, the topic is two biblical warnings, one against socialism and the other against, I'm just going to call this American socialism. This is not political commentary, but you'll get the reason for that. And the reason, Dan, is my alarm, a deep alarm, at the rising tide of, it's called democratic socialism. We'll get to this a little bit later. It is by no means democratic.
No.
But my alarm at the rising tide of socialism in the United States of America for two reasons. One, as we did on a previous program, I've been there in my teenage years. I had that flirtation for a couple of years or so with communism. I read the material and was quite enamored of Che Guevara and Fidel Castro and that kind of thing. That's my own experience. And then the second thing is, we've got one of our daughters-in-law, and we have five of them, one of our daughters-in-law came from Russia after the time of the Soviet Union, but she grew up with it, and she is appalled at what she sees in the United States. And
I
said
it.
Two reasons. Actually, the third one that we'll get to, the scriptures themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I need to start out, Dan, defining some terms, and that's a biblical requirement. We're talking about a plain answer, and a plain answer from the scriptures means we've got to be given to truth, which means you've got to ferret out truth and error and take the time to do it. The biblical word for sobriety, the word actually means a saved mind. You've got to think biblically about things, and that brings us also to discernment. How, as you think biblically about things, discerning is how you judge between two things. And so let me just take a moment to define terms that are often batted around. Communism, there's a theoretical communism that was, at least in its modern view, in dealing with economics, was popularized by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in their writings in the 19th century. And Marx and Engels emphasized class warfare based on economics. Now, today, the class warfare is more over race and what's called oppression. But the reason for that is this. Theoretical communism posits that you've got a status quo, they would call it the thesis, and the antithesis, something that's against that, and there's some kind of revolution to overcome the status quo. And in theoretical communism, not practical, but in theoretical communism, that works toward essentially a utopian state in which, among other things, there's an abundance of things. So that's theoretical communism. The thing is, number one, that's a counterfeit of Christianity. It's a formal term. It's a counterfeit eschatology. It's a counterfeit view of history and even end times. The book, heavy book, Francis Nigel Lee's Communist Eschatology, put me onto this years ago when I was in graduate school. But communism, in fact, is nothing like this. It becomes socialism, we'll get to that in a moment, run by the state, supposedly in the name of society. And I recommend that your readers, your listeners, if they have not read George Orwell's book, Animal Farm, read it. Orwell was enamored of communism in the earlier part of the 20th century. He was enamored of it until he saw it. Now, he remained what's called a benign socialist, but his book Animal Farm really deals with what happened in communist Russia. And the line at the end, all animals are created equal, again, it's Animal Farm, but some are more equal than others, that epitomizes what's happened in socialism. And again, there is no such thing as democratic socialism. We'll come to that a little bit later, as Orwell. He thought there might be, but there isn't. Now, what about socialism? Well, socialism's a big mantra is from each according to his or their ability, and to each according to his or their need. Or, as Fidel Castro changed it, to each according to his or their work. Now, that's what they say. And what do they mean by that? In their model of state ownership of all property and means of production, each one must work according to his or their ability, and theoretically, the fruits of that are to each according to their needs. The problem is that does not work. Even in any socialist country, including Sweden, that is regarded as something of a model of that, there's always concessions to private property, which we'll get to in just a little bit. That's why it's interesting, Dan, that socialists today will say something like this. The reason the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics did not work is it wasn't pure socialism. That's a little bit like saying if one of Elon Musk's rockets crashes and blows up, that it really wasn't a rocket. That's not logical, and that's part of the duplicitousness of the speaking of socialists. Mm-hmm. And that's why, again, I plead with your listeners, what is true? Think about it soberly and be discerning. I just might add, and then I'll shut my mouth, I know you got loads of questions, because we need to get to the big biblical problem with socialism. But this is not the same as legitimate discussions of the role of state in promoting the general welfare. You'd need a political science professor or somebody to do that. I'm not that. So we're not talking about the role of the state in promoting the general welfare. What we are saying is socialism, whatever you want to call it, democratic socialism or anything else, it takes away the private right, the private means of production, private property, supposedly for the benefit of society or the state.
Well, there's a lot to interact with here. Right off the top of my head, I'm going to interact this way. One of the concerns that I have is when pastors who should know better come into a church with an agenda that's socialist at its base, so bad that one of the parishioners would say, walking out of the service, that guy's a Marxist. And then I start hearing it more and more. In my opinion, people like that have no business in pastoring the pulpit of a church. Bill.
Well, I say amen, amen, and amen. Marxism, there's a cute little line. I think the late President Ronald Reagan used it. What's the difference between a communist and an anti-communist? A communist has read Marx and Engels. An anti-communist understands Marx and Engels. And when you understand them and actually read their own material, and I would recommend to your listeners redflagspress.org. It's all one word if you're going to put it on your computer, redflagspress.org. And, of course, there's a double entendre in that. Their material, where they quote socialist and communist leaders, that stuff's dynamite. And, yeah, there is no place for that in the pulpit, period.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'll go one step further with it. If a minister is espousing Marxism and is in a church that practices discipline, the man needs to be disciplined, period. You've got to go to the mat on these things.
Yeah, I agree. Quite some time ago, I'm jumping here, but here's another thought that entered my mind, Pastor Bill. Quite some time ago, I read at least part of the book titled Basic Economics. It's by a wonderful man by the name of Thomas Sowell. Are you familiar with him at all?
I was actually going to refer to him in here, but I had to cull some things from my notes. Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite writers. I don't know if he's personally a believer in the Lord. It's kind of hard to find that in his writings.
Yes.
But he does his work by induction. He looks at the facts. He looks at the real world.
Yes.
And in fact, I have a shirt actually with a quotation from Thomas Sowell. It says, "What's your fair share of what someone else has earned?"
That's right.
And I again, don't get your theology from him, but yeah, as far as dealing with free market economics and responsibly used and also socialism and communism.
But you know, Bill, and I'm sure you have thought about this too. The very basics of Christian ethics, the Ten Commandments, when that's acted out, when that's obeyed, socialism has to go out the door.
Oh.
Because it's based on theft, and it's based on people wanting what other people have and redistributing their wealth, and it becomes a total wreck in the real world. And yet the law of God can instruct us as to which path to go down.
Dan, you nailed it. That's my next point. It violates the 10th commandment, you shall not covet, when you're always longing for what everybody else has got. It violates the 5th commandment because of it's not respectful of authority because it believes in revolution. It's a violation of the 6th commandment because regardless of what socialists would say, socialism ends up functioning. I always tell people the warmth of collectivism is the warmth of a gun barrel.
Correct.
In which people are put to death if they disagree with the system and they oppose it.
Absolutely.
I thought it was very telling. This is a paraphrase. I was floored when I read the other day one of the Democrat socialist leaders who was elected saying something like this: we must use the Marxist-Leninist method against our opponents. And he was speaking of others in the Democrat Party. Dan, I was floored. Those were called pogroms.
How that fleshes out, Bill.
Yeah, well, and it does. But your point that you made, the very first point you made, I should just let you finish the program. That, Dan, was what got me. After I had been in my communist socialist phase and for some time was under the good influence of a man who was not, and to my knowledge, never became a Christian, but he was vehemently anti-communist, and he dismantled the various tenets of my materialistic, atheistic Marxism. And once I became a Christian, and that took a little while, but as I was reading the commandments, this is what struck me with the big biblical problem with socialism. It's the 8th commandment not to steal.
Amen.
In Scripture, in the Old Testament, I want to say on virtually every page, private property rights are assumed. In fact, in the Old Testament law, there were regulations against taking away people's property, at least the people of Israel, and there was the inheritance laws which provided that people could keep their property.
Right.
I've gotten this one. Well, if you really follow Jesus, then you'll become a socialist. And I'm floored. I want to say, honestly, have you read what Jesus speaks of, where he speaks about individual talents and how they are to be used? in the New Testament itself, Ananias and Sapphira, they're told by the Lord through the apostle that property was yours. You didn't have to give it away.
That's right.
That's just assumed. Also, when this impacted me, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, over against those who say, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to be a communist, Paul never tells the rich to give up all of their riches or that they should be taken. He says that they should be ready to share and they should be generous to be sure. But ready to share assumes it's yours. Now this you'll get. And again, Dan, like you, perhaps, I don't know, this is where Marxists in the pulpit get their stuff. But they'll go to a text like Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 and 45 after the day of Pentecost, and you read, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, that would be pure communism, a line in the early church, as Christians had all things in common except their wives. And then it goes on, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This was not enforced communism.
No.
This was, frankly, a joyous outpouring. All Christians can relate to this. You find brothers and sisters in need, and you want to help them. And then also Acts 4, verses 32 to 37, which is also cited as a Christian communism. Now, the full number of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. That's not enforced socialism or communism. The people gave up their goods, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. They were generous to one another. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And then there's the specific example of Joseph and Barnabas and so forth. This, excuse the expression, this is a bastardization
yes.
of what the Word of God teaches.
Yes.
I don't know any other way to put it.
Yes. You know, I think of a situation. I was very, very young at the time, so I wasn't catching the nuances too much. But there was a time when my parents kind of fell on hard times, and they didn't have too much. And I remember, I believe it was my uncle who brought some food, some groceries to us. And that really made a difference. It really helped. And I like to see where families help each other, where they realize, my sister is going through a hard time. Let me help her out. I also remember it was probably a similar time frame. Christmas would roll around. You know, the parents like to get their kids something. And I didn't think anything of it at the time, but my present was a snow shovel. That's what my parents got me. And it wasn't like all kinds of fancy toys and that. And it was great. I had no problem with that, you know. But looking back at it, I say, oh, that's right. Times were really tough during that year for my parents.
Sure. And praise the Lord, you could do work shoveling snow and even make some money doing it.
It's very, very true. And for a kid, I'll tell you, Pastor Bill, for a kid to get out there and work with his parents, you know, chores around the house, whatever, that is so worthwhile. You're learning a bunch of things from your dad, from your mom, and you're learning how to work hard. These are good things for kids.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's the fourth commandment. You're to labor 6 days, right?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that out, because we often think, oh, the fourth commandment, I got to take a day off, blah, blah, blah. But we miss the fact of laboring six, not five, but 6 days.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do? And then the Bible goes on to say that you might work with your own hands doing what is good so that you might be able to give to him who has need.
That
and I think
so
you
true.
Could make the case, one of the reasons why socialism has such an attraction to people is that, quite frankly, Christians aren't as generous and as giving as they ought to be.
It's very true.
That's a very important
very
question.
True.
But frankly, if the church was practicing more the kind of thing you do read in Acts 2 and 4, not enforce communism, but
no.
helping out your brother and sister, then you can point and say, wait a minute, the state doesn't do this. When it tries to do it, it ruins things.
They really
when
do.
God's people do. So anyway, yeah, I mean, that Dan, is the other thing on the big biblical problem regarding socialism. We've nailed a lot of it. But practically speaking, history shows that the maximum benefits to all people come by personal use of personal property, by personal industry, by taking use of individual talents and gifts and desires and letting them be unleashed.
Yes.
Not as a ward of the state, but really under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, whatever you do it heartily. And then
Amen.
He doesn't say, as under the state. He says, literally, he says, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men.
Yes.
Whereas the state, and this is for another time, people need to realize the beast in the book of Revelation, that was the Roman state. For as best as I can understand it, even the Roman state allowed for private property, but the state can become, it can become a beast.
Yeah.
And a very practical illustration. Why do we esteem home ownership in our culture? And here again, for various reasons, sometimes some nefarious reasons, home ownership has become more of a difficulty for people. But
very
why
much
home
so.
Ownership? Well, rentals, and sometimes you have to rent, but anyone will tell you property is improved when people own their own property,
yes.
not when they rent it. Or if you go back some decades, the sharecropping that was done down south, not just with blacks, but even with white people, where somebody owned that property and you worked for him, that was slavery.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're looking for. And in fact, modern socialism supposedly doesn't emphasize so much economic disparities, although they do that, but they will also emphasize racial disparities. And when I'm dealing with people who hold those views, and I try to stay away from political things
sure.
as a pastor, but I'll mention sharecropping. That was in one sense a socialism on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
People were treated as slaves, and I'll ask, I thought you didn't want people to be treated as slaves. Anyway,
Pastor
but
Bill.
So those now the other I don't think we're going to have time to develop.
No, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left. That's it.
I'm going to be able to do it, but let me just throw this out here, and then hopefully we'll get a time to develop it even more. Because I said, not only I said two biblical warnings: one against socialism, and the other against American socialism. And I'll just throw this
right.
out for people to think about. The problem of American socialism is this. Democracy is a – people use it in a careless way. Democracy is popular rule or majority rule. We're not a democracy in the United States.
No.
We are a constitutional republic, which means what? Number one, it's government under a constitution or under law. That grew out of deep-rooted biblical convictions in the Protestant Reformation, classic book, Law, Rule, Lex Rex, by Samuel Rutherford, deals with that. But the other is this. We use the term in the civil realm, federalism. What is federalism? Well, federalism in the civil realm, the term comes from the biblical word covenant. And it's twisted a bit to turn covenant into contract. But the point is their social contract, there is a connection between the ruled and the rulers.
Mm.
And those who are ruled in federalism are represented. It's a representative, if you want to call it representative democracy, but it is a representative government in which on every level, in the local level, the state level, civil, the federal level, you have representatives who represent you. Now, this again, we're running out of time, but think about it a little bit. The doing away with the Senate that's proposed by the misnomer, Democratic Socialist,
what a joke.
Doing away with the Electoral College, that's dangerous, and it's contrary to the powers that be in our land are the Constitution under which everyone is to govern.
Yeah, that's right.
It's contrary to that. I'll leave it at that, but boy, I'd love to do another program.
Well, we need to do that, and maybe in another month we will. Today we've been talking back and forth here with our good friend, Pastor Bill Shishko, who's also an advisor here at Redeemer Broadcasting. If you wish to get a hold of Pastor Bill, how would you like to do that if someone has a question for you?
Yeah, my well-used email, WSHISHKO, that's my last name, WSHISHKO@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from listeners. In fact, if you disagree, please email me. I'm known as a debater. And I don't lose debates, but I'm glad to parry things.
You got to have a strong stomach to go through debates, and Pastor Bill, God has given him that gift, I think. Pastor Bill, thank you for joining us. May God bless you and your wife and your family and your grandchildren, and please join us again.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.